Good morning, everyone. Right, so we're continuing this morning in our series going through the characteristics of God. And it's landed on me this morning to talk about probably the, how could I put it, people's favourite maybe? The biggest? His love. God's love. We've been singing about it this morning already. Been singing some amazing truths about it. But really, I don't think I've ever felt less qualified to talk about anything in my life than God's love, because it's vastness. It's, you can't measure it. There's a word in one of the hymns that I love. It's in depth, in vain, the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. And you know what you do when you sound the depths is you try and find the bottom of the ocean. You send a sound out and it bounces back and it tells you how deep the ocean is. So you've got this picture of this angel trying to sound the depths of God's love and they just can't do it. It's just boundless. So what I'm going to do is I want to pray a prayer that Paul prays before we start to help us understand and grasp the love of God. So it's in Ephesians chapter 1. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you this morning a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I want to pray this morning that you would know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, the height, the length, the depth of his love, and that that would change you this morning in such a profound way that you'll never be the same again. Let's open by reading probably the most precious scripture to me, because it's the verses that God used to save me back in June 2004. I typed in on the internet, who is God? I was at the bottom of the barrel, the bottom, nowhere else to go. I typed in, who is God? And these three words came back to my three-word question. God is love. So turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, or I'm sure you can put it on the screen, Ben, to 1 John chapter 4. And really, there's so much I could talk about the love of God, but I'm going to kind of restrain myself this morning to primarily focus in on these verses. So 1 John chapter 4, and I'll start reading at verse 7. And even though it wasn't there in the original text, my Bible's got a heading, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he does not see. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So from these verses and from many other places in the Bible, we clearly see, don't we, that God is love. And when you look at humanity through the ages, it's clear that there's always been this desire from humans to truly know what love is. Yeah, you just have to look at the amount of books, films, TV programs dedicated to this subject of love. Perhaps one of the most popular shows on TV at the moment, not to myself, is Love Island. Maybe we can go there. Maybe we can go there to find out what love is. I think we'd probably find there not many clothes and some extremely straight and white teeth, but not what love is. Maybe love is that warm feeling you get when mum or dad, this is for the younger people, mum or dad tucks you in at night and gives you a hug. Maybe love is a Belgian bun and a flat white from Greg's in the morning. See, the thing is, many people have tried to define love, especially songwriters. Sorry, I'm going to get a bit like, not naughty, playful. Possibly the most profound definition given by a songwriter is from Hadaway. Exactly. From the 90s in his song, What Is Love? Listen. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me, don't hurt me no more. So now we all know what love is. What is love? Hadaway tells us. Baby, don't hurt me no more. Clear as day. Okay, how about another attempt from a songwriter? Love can make the summer fly, or a night seem like a lifetime. Have we got it now, what love is? Is it clear now? Can we go home? Okay, let's have another go. Let's turn to somebody a bit more learned than Hadaway, no offence to the lad. Shakespeare. Love is a smoke raised with the fume of sighs, being purged, a fire sparkling in a lover's eye, being vexed, a sea nourished with lover's tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet, a choking gall, and a preserving sweet. Are you clear now on what love is? Because I gotta be honest with you, I ain't got a clue what that means. I ain't got a clue what Shakespeare's on about there. But it sounded good. But one of the reasons I think that mankind finds it hard to define what love is because it can have so many different meanings. So listen, I was being a bit playful, but in my language, I will say, oh, I love a good Belgian bun from Greggs. You know, I love a good Belgian bun and a flat white from Greggs. But not in the same way I love my cat, Oliver. I love my cat, Oliver, but not in the same way that I love my kids. And I love my kids, but not in the same way that I love my wife. There's different uses of the word love. And the Bible uses those different words for love. There's four main words for love. I won't go too much into it. But the love that the Bible talks about in these passages in 1 John and the other ones where we're going to look in 1 Corinthians 13 is the word agape. And it's a divine love. It's a pure love. It's God's love. It's the love that comes from God. So what we need to do is not look at what Hadaway says about love, but what the Bible says about love and how Bible defines what love is. So we've already read some verses from 1 John chapter 4, which we're going to come back to. But I just want to slowly read to you again some well-known verses in the Bible that define what love is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you could put them up, Ben. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll start reading at verse 4. So this is what the Bible says that love is. And because God is love, this is what God is. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Another translation of that last bit is, love never quits. Love keeps going. It never taps out. It never says, this was enough, but I can't go any further. It goes on and on and on to the end. God's love. God's love goes on and on and on and on to the end. It never fails. It never ends. And the word for love in these passages is the same word as the word in 1 John where it says God is love. Agape. Agape. This is what true love is like. God's love. This is what real love is like. So listen, let me just replace what I read with God instead. God is patient. God is patient with you. God is kind. God does not envy or boast. Listen, God is not irritable or resentful. God's love never quits. God's love never quits. It never fails. God is not going to tap out halfway through when it comes to his love. There's a beautiful phrase in John chapter 13 that describes how Jesus loved his disciples before he washed their feet. I want to share it with you. Because Jesus laying down his outer garments and washing his disciples' feet was a pre-runner to him going to the cross. And this is what the Bible says about Jesus just before he gets down and he washes his disciples' feet. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Yeah. That's so beautiful. He loved them to the end. Not like he got to the garden and they tapped out. His love drove him to the end for you. His love for you. His love doesn't quit. His love never gives up. And even when I've been reading those verses about what love is, I know that some of you have been thinking, I haven't loved like that. I'm not patient. I'm not kind. I've acted towards people in ways that I shouldn't. Yes, you have. Yes, I have. But listen very carefully to me now. It's not about you. It's about him. And his love towards you never fails. Of course your love has failed. Of course it has. So has mine. But get your eyes off yourself and put them on God. Because his love to you never fails. In spite of your failure. So we start to see that the essence of God's love, just the very core of what God's love is about, is in giving, isn't it? It's in reaching out. That's the very, center of what his love is, reaching out to you. Reaching out to the world. This is really important. Love is focused on the recipient. Not on itself. Like true love, when someone does a truly loving act, they're not even thinking of themselves and their comfort. It's purely about the recipient. It's thinking about the recipient, but love is more than just thinking. Because plenty of people think about love. Plenty of people say, I love you every day. But love is much more about just thinking, much more than just saying. It's about acting, doing something. It's acting towards someone for their good. And now this is really important for us to grasp as well when it comes to God. Because when God loves us, he acts toward us for our good. And the thing is, he knows what's good for us. Yeah. See, okay, so love isn't God acting towards us and doing what we want. Would you see the difference? God is acting toward us and doing for us what is good for us. Everything he will ever do towards you is for your good. Even when you don't understand it, it is. So let's go back to the passages in 1 John that we read to focus more on what God's love is and what it shows that God is like. So if you can put those verses up from 1 John 4 again, Ben, and start at 8 and I'll be going into 9. So it says this in 1 John 4, verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So this is where we kind of get the idea. God starts showing us what his love is like. So what do we learn that his love is like from these verses? First of all, it's something that is manifest, isn't it? Did you see that in the verse? In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. Yeah? What does that mean, manifest? Showed. Yeah, made in a way that you could see. Like, demonstrated. Acted. So in this is God's love. This is how he showed you, how he acted in his love towards you. That he sent his only Son into the world. That Jesus came. God acted towards the world. He reached out in love to the world in the person of Jesus. See, this is what love does. It reaches out. Love reaches outside its like comfort zone and reaches out to those who need it. See, that's what God did for me and you. Like, how far away were we from God? Like, immeasurably far. And yet he crossed that chasm in himself. He reached out. And he said, I want to reach out to you in love. I don't want to just leave you and I just stay in heaven. I want to reach out to you in love and grab you. And he was doing that in Jesus. Jesus was coming down to the world for you. Like, he was reaching out to you. That's what he was doing in his love. But who did God reach out to? What does the verse say? The well-known verse in John 3:16, like, for God so loved the world. Like, so who did Jesus come? Where did Jesus come? Where did Jesus come? The world. Like, he didn't like limit himself. He came to be the saviour of the world. So this is the other thing that we need to know about God's love. It's for the whole world. Like, God's love is for the whole world. Like, see, when you compare God's love to the world's love is like limited to any, it could be any, the rich, the famous, the beautiful, the lovely. You know, God's love is unrestrained, unbounded. It's for everyone. He come for everyone. That's who his love is for, everyone. Biblical love is all-encompassing. And he demonstrated it to the whole world by reaching out in Jesus. Listen to another way that the Bible puts it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God shows his love for us in this. See, again, there's that idea of love having to be shown. Imagine if God just said, I love you. But then nothing was done about the separation, the sin. But he does so much more than just says he loves you. He showed he loved you by laying down his life. The verse says, God demonstrates his love for you in this. That while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. God's love was shown to you through Jesus coming, reaching and dying for you. God's love isn't confined to the rich or the beautiful or the successful. He reaches out to the whole world. No limits, no restrictions. God's love is there to be received by anyone who will receive it. Anyone. But why did God love us like this? Why did he reach out? Well, the answer's in the verses in 1 John. so that we might live through him. Why did God want to reach out to us? So that we might live through him. In other words, he's doing what is best for us. Do you know that there's no greater thing than to be in a relationship with God, connected? Like, when you're separated from God, the Bible says that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But when he takes those away and reconnects you, you're alive together with him. You're brought back to life. So when he reaches out to you in love and makes you alive, he is doing the best thing he can for you. The best thing for you. He's making you alive. For our good. For our life. All our sins, all our wrongdoings, I think deep down we all know what they are. They separated. They were separating us from God. Yeah? But Jesus died to take them away. To take that punishment away. So that we could live through him. And this is the thing about God's love, right? It reaches out in spite of what it costs him. Now I want us to focus again on what it cost him. Everything. His life. It cost him everything. So he reached out to you, even though he knew that he was going to lose everything, die on the cross. But why did he do that? Because he loves you. Like, there's no other reason. Then he loves you. And he wanted you. That's why he reached out. I really hope this is like hitting home for you. That God wanted you so much that he left heaven and died to give you life. Love reaches out in spite of what it costs to achieve good for the one it's reaching out to. How can love keep no record of your wrongs? Because Jesus died for my wrongs. That's glorious. There's no record in heaven of my wrongs. There's no record in heaven of your wrongs. Why? Because Jesus died for them, paid for them. They're gone, as far as the east is from the west. He took my place. He took my place. I had a few songs going through my head this morning, and Simon played them both. One was "This is Jesus in His Glory." I've got it written here. "This is Jesus in His Glory, King of Heaven, dying for me." And the other one was "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus." So love, true love, agape love, reaches out unconditionally to anyone in spite of what it costs to achieve good for them. I'm just summarizing what we've looked at so far. Unconditional agape love, God's love, reaches out to anyone in spite of what it costs to achieve good for them. God, in his love, reached out to the whole world in Jesus, and in spite of what it cost him, he went to the cross to bear my sin, to bear your sin, so that you may live through him, so that you can be reconnected to your Maker, where true joy and purpose is found. So we've seen that God's love's for everyone. God's love never gives up. It's steadfast and immovable. And nothing in all creation can separate someone who's trusted Jesus from the love of God. But what do we also see about God's love from those verses in 1 John? And this is so important for us to get. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I want to read this to you again, because this is key. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. What does this mean? His love for us is not dependent on our love for him. He doesn't love you in response to how much you love him. He's going to love you anyway. Like, it's nothing to do with how much you love him. It's to do with who he is, his nature. Like, it just flows out of him. It's like saying, like, the Niagara Falls falls because of something someone does. No, it just falls because it's the Niagara Falls, okay? God's love is just towards you because he is love. It's got nothing to do with you. And that can be both simultaneously a bit disappointing for you if you've got an ego problem, or amazingly freeing, that his love towards you is constant, flowing, boundless, free, independently of anything you do. Anything. In this is love. Not that you have loved God, but that he loves you. God's love isn't in response to you. It's coming anyway. We say this all the time, but it needs to be said all the time. No matter what you do today, he will love you the same. Amen. You could have the best day in the world. You could be a super saint. Or you could have an absolute nightmare. And he will love you the same. Why? Because it's who he is. It's who he is. Like, it's impossible for him to be any other way, because that's who he is. Let me put it another way. If the love of God is vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, like we sung, it's not constrained by you. Like, there's nothing you can do to constrain his love. It's coming anyway. Listen to the words of the hymn again. I've got them written here. I was playing it on my guitar, wasn't I, Ben, this morning? And then Si played it. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. I don't think he could have come up, if it was a guy, I don't think they could have come up with any more synonyms for endless. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. I don't know if you've ever been caught in a current, but you've got no control. It just takes you. That's what God's love does. It just takes you. When he wants you, he wants to love on you, He just flows over you like a mighty river. Like, I love that last song, innit? Your love's like a mighty river. Like, imagine trying to fight against a mighty river, thinking you've got control over the mighty river. And you stand there with all your good works and all the things you've done, and the river's just like, and you just end up like, that's what it's like with God's love and you trying to bring anything to it. It's boundless. It's just going to flow over you, because that's who he is. It's not dependent on you. It flows from who he is. So God's love reaches out to everyone in spite of what it costs for their good, and it's not based on anything at all that the receiver can offer. Do you see? I'm building a picture from everything we're looking at. God's love reaches out in spite of what it costs for their good, and it's not based on anything at all that the receiver can offer. And finally, we see about God's love is that it's never really meant to end with the one who receives it. It's meant to go on and on and on. This is what I mean. Look at these verses from 1 John again. I'll read them out. So it's around verse 11 of chapter 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So when you truly see God's love demonstrated to you, shown to you at the cross, because we know that's where he demonstrated his love for us. This is a little bit of a side note, but I want to say this. How do you know God loves you? Because he's shown you at the cross. It's a historical fact, like it happened in history. It's not how I feel on the day when I wake up, because I'm like that. I know God loves me because he's shown me at the cross. Okay? But if God's love is boundless, and it is boundless, then it won't stop with us. It will flow out to others. We love God because he first loved us. But do you know how we love God? It's through the way we love each other. Do you know that? That might be a mad concept. But do you remember what Jesus said about giving a glass of water to somebody? If you give even the least of these a glass of water in my name, what will finish it? You're doing it to me. You're giving it to me. So how do you love God? By loving each other. If you don't love each other, then you can't say you love God. That's what John said, isn't it? If you can't love your brother who you can see, how can you say you love God who you can't see? So God's love is never meant to stay with us. It's meant to be reciprocated. It's viral. It goes viral. And that's why it's going to last forever. Because heaven is just going to be a reciprocation of his love for all eternity. We're all going to love each other perfectly. Love God. And that's what God's love is meant to be. It's meant to go on and on and on. And what happens when we love each other, in the same way that God loved us, by the way, not in like a worldly way. So let's just refresh our memories. God's love reaches out to others in spite of what it costs for their good, and based on nothing they can give back. So that's what God's love is. So if we're meant to do that for each other, which we are, then Jesus said, The world will see that and they will glorify God in heaven. They will see that. When we lay our lives down for each other, like, in spite of what it costs and not expecting anything back in return, the world will see that and they will glorify God. That's the aim of love, endless reciprocation. So I want to ask you a question. There was a phrase in the song, it said, freely I want to give my life to you, God, freely. So you know, if you do something for God, and you expect anything in return from him, are you truly loving him? No, because as we just said, true love doesn't expect anything in return. It does it irregardless. Remember what I said about God loving us? He didn't love us because we love him back. He loved us anyway. And when we love each other, we don't do things because we're expecting anything back. We do it because we love him. We don't want anything back. So for you to give your life to God in response to his love, you have to do it freely, not expecting anything back. And that's awesome, really, because it's freeing. It's like, freely I give my life to you, God. I know you're not expecting anything from me, really. Your love is boundless. And I'm not coming to you, like, expecting something except you. I just want you. That's all I want. Now, even though God's shown his love to the whole world and Jesus came to the whole world, and this is going back to what I'm talking about, reciprocating his love, it's only those who receive him that he gives the right to become children of God. Only those who have responded to his love does he give the right to become children of God. But when you see his love demonstrated in the cross, you just have to love him for what he's done for you. We love because he first loved us. Now, is it easy to love others in the way I just described? Like reaching out, not expecting anything back, in spite of what it costs you? Is it easy to do that? So I would go further than easy, and I would say it's impossible. In and of yourself, without God, it's impossible to love that way. Why? Because it's God's love. That's God's love. You know, no one else can give you that love except God. It has to come from God. So if you're trying to love people in that way and you haven't got God in your life, you can't do it. It's impossible. But what happens is when you respond to God's love, he fills you with his Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Listen to the words I read again. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. It says in Romans that when someone becomes a Christian, God sheds his Spirit abroad in their heart. His love. He sheds it abroad in their heart. So what is impossible with man becomes possible because God's doing it through you. Is it impossible to love people in the way God loves them without him? Yes, because you need him to do it. You can't do it without him. So do you know what one of the greatest evidences is that you're a Christian? When you start feeling love in your heart flowing from someone, towards someone who you've never loved before, who is wretched, who you're not even expecting anything back from, who you didn't even have any love there. Why is that a sign? Because the only place that love can come from is from God. It's the only place. So that's why all these people who are pretending to be religious but don't know God are like ultimately offending him. Because they're doing all these loving acts, but there's no love in their heart. They're respecting, they're expecting something back. You know, they're protecting themselves in some way. That's not God's love. That's worldly charity.
What God's love is supernatural love coming from God, being shed abroad in your heart, and you doing something that's impossible. Loving someone who you can't love, naturally. Not even thinking of getting anything back in return. And the only place that can come from is God. You can't muster that up yourself. You can't fake it either. Because you know when you're expecting something back. But when it does come, you're like, that's God's love. Hear me right, but it's almost like you're not there. The old you isn't there. Do you know what I mean? And God is just using you, flowing through you. You're not expecting anything back. You're not even thinking about that. And it's God flowing through you. And when the world sees that kind of love, not Love Island, then they will glorify our Father in heaven. Listen, we quench the Spirit, don't we? I want to tell you this. If you're a Christian this morning, God is in you. He lives in you by His Spirit. But you've got two options day by day. To walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the flesh, it doesn't mean that God isn't there. It just means that we quench Him. And that love that He shed abroad in your heart won't come out. But when you walk in the Spirit and you submit yourself to Him, it will flow. So this morning, I would encourage you to pray this. Lord, would you shed your love abroad in my heart so that it just overflows to those around me and help me to walk closely with you. And do you know where that fuel will come from? When you look at what He did for you. When you look at what He did for you, He will flow His love through you. That you would be filled with the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for showing me again and people here again what real love is, what your love is, and how different it is from the way the world sees what love is. But Lord, I think we'd all say that it's challenging to see that love that you give us and then know that you want us to reciprocate that. And Father, we just want to say that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Lord, it's impossible for me to love like you love on my own. But with you, all things are possible. So I believe that you can love others through me. Lord, where I've been quenching your Spirit, I'm sorry. And I thank you so much for your love to me that you don't keep a record of my wrongs. But you forgive them and you want to fill us anew. And I pray this morning that you would fill our hearts with your love. And it would overflow to those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.